coming to get you, Barbara.
Hey, I'm probably a thorn.
We'll tear your soul apart.
The blackest eyes. The devil's eyes.
Chucky, wanna play?
Rubs the lotion on its skin or else gets the hose again.
I am the eater of words and of children.
This is God.
What's your favorite scary movie?
All right, and we are back on the podcast. Corey, crack that pumpkin. We are in October.
And as
we mentioned before, we were going to do all horror, all month long.
Right.
So this is the first week of pop junk movies, Monster Month. I just made that up off the top of the head. Monster Month. You like it?
I like alliteration.
I like that too.
Might I add, big horror movie fans over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we're definitely
huge.
Not horror movie buffs, we just. A little buff.
We search them out. We seek them out, man.
We do. So to start out, your host, Adam. Pop Junk Movies, joined as always.
Oh, I'm back, by the way.
Oh, he's back. He wasn't here for the Bono episode 1 TV Breaking Bad.
I really wanted... Can I have a little, like 2 minutes at the end of this so I can talk about Breaking Bad?
Yeah, save it for the end of the pod, because I don't want to... That way I'll tell people you can... All right, turn it off if you haven't seen the episode. But Evan's back.
Right.
And with us again. He was absent last week. He was indisposed. He was having a mechanical eye put in. But now he's back. Corey, welcome back.
Hey.
So we're going to talk top 5 underrated horror movies.
Fuck yeah.
Because it's easy to just go, oh, what's our top 5 favorite horror movies? And then you're throwing around your Exorcist, your Halloweens, your Nightmare on Elm Street.
I got my favorites, but I got some on the side.
You know, your Evil Deads, and we've talked about those movies enough.
I didn't include Evil Dead because
it's not underrated.
It's not underrated.
It's very rated.
It's very rated.
So we're not going to talk about, our underrated, the ones that we think that more people should appreciate.
Yeah, don't get enough notoriety.
But we'll start the show like we always start the show. What are we drinking this evening, gentlemen? It is a Friday night. We got nothing to do. Well, Evan's got to work tomorrow, but.
I don't care. I got a nice nap in.
I'll start us off.
I finished that one.
I am drinking. I'm going in cold on this one because Corey just handed me a beer and said, here you go. And I appreciate that. And I am drinking Post Road Pumpkin Ale. Pumpkin all month.
Post Road.
Post Road Pumpkin Ale. I'm going to take a little swig. Spoiler, that tastes like pumpkin. That's good pumpkin right there.
Man.
That's good, yeah.
You can try it.
Pass that
give
on.
Give that a go. That's some good pumpkin.
God damn.
We like a good pumkin ale on this show.
Oh, you'll have good. To send that way.
Oh, that's good.
Let's bring Post Road over here.
Evan, what are you indulging in tonight?
I got another one that Corey handed to me. I finished one called Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
It's called Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Which is very good. But now I have a new one.
All right.
So it's called Fisherman's Brew.
Fisherman's Brew.
Now, I hope this doesn't taste like seawater.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe brewed with seawater.
We'll see.
Gloucester, Mass. It's made. Wow. Okay. All right.
A local brew.
A local brew.
I like it. Take a pull.
Here we go. Right. Here we go.
Oh, boy. Good stuff? A little bitter?
Yeah, that's good. It's got a weird taste.
Corey, what are you having?
I've got a good old Smithwick's.
Ah, yes.
And then I have a...
On deck.
On deck, I got a Pumple Drumkin.
Those are good.
Ale brewed with pumpkins and spices, Cisco Brewers, Nantucket.
I like it. I like it already. Good stuff. All right, cool. So we got our beers. We're ready to talk some movies.
I actually watched a movie this week.
All right, good. We'll get to what everyone's been watching.
I watched it today.
I want to talk about two movies I watched this week in honor of horror movies and Halloween and whatnot. I watched the horror anthology VHS and its sequel VHS 2.
Cool.
Now, this was made by a whole bunch of different directors. They basically, they made a horror anthology. The central plot, which... Really, what I had a main problem with, the central plot is like these horrible, crappy people are like, they have to go find this guy's shitty VHS collection and they start watching it. And I'm not really doing it justice, but They never, like, you don't get wrapped up in what these people are doing. They're just shitty people doing shitty things.
No.
And I just couldn't, I couldn't get into it. And to be honest with you, the first three shorts, well, shorts are all, like, maybe somewhere around, like, 20 to a half hour.
I think having shitty people do shitty things means you don't care when they get, when they die brutally.
You don't care. And that, I really had a big problem with the first three movies. I'll just talk about the one I liked. The last one, it was called 10-31-98. You know, it was about these four guys going to a Halloween party. They show up. There's no one in the house. They're walking around. You can kind of see, like, apparitions in the background. And then finally they think it's like a haunted house, like a theme party. They make their way all the way up into the attic. And there's, like, these sort of, like, hillbilly guys, like, having, like, a fucking seance with, like, a girl all tied up. And she gets stabbed and everything. And they run. And oh, I actually, let me just say too, another thing about this movie is they're all first person, you know,
found footage,
first person, shaky cam bullshit.
Yeah.
I hate those movies.
Yeah.
But I said, fuck it. These are the newest, hottest horror movies. I have to sit through them. So that one is the best one of the three. There's the other three and the central story I can do without. But I was interested enough to watch the sequel, VHS 2, and I really thought VHS 2 takes a very big step in the right direction. First one, and I think from what I read, it's such a mixed bag. A lot of people are like, oh, the first one's great, the second one sucks. I was more on board with the second one. First little movie is the guy with the mechanical eye, which I thought was a really cool way. Because in the first movie, another thing, a problem I had with it was, like, they always have to come up with, like, stupid reasons why they're carrying around cameras. So in the open of the first one, it's a guy that, like, he got into a car accident, and, like, this company basically hooks him up with, like, this mechanical eye, and they're, like, recording everything, and he's like, how long are you going to record things? Well, like, almost like they're acting like they're doing the guy a favor. That one's cool. He can see ghosts, and he gets, like, he meets up with this girl who had, like, an ear, you know, the same company gave her, like, something to fix her hearing. That one was cool. I thought the most creative one of the better zombie movies, I mean, it's a short half hour that I've seen in a long time, is called A Ride in the Park. It's about this guy. He's got a little helmet cam on. He's like, you know, honey, I'll be home soon. I'm just going to go for a little ride in the park. Gets attacked by a zombie. Gets bit. Dies. And then basically you're having a zombie movie through the first person view of the zombie.
Yeah.
Very creative. Very entertaining.
I watched it. I liked it.
It's really good.
I didn't like how it ended. How it ended. I thought it was...
I had a huge problem with the end of that. And I don't want to give it away because the spoilers...
It was really dumb.
But the rest of it is really stupid.
The rest of it is awesome.
Yes. And then the one that I liked the most, which is the one that every review I read said is the weakest, was Slumber Party Alien Abduction, which is exactly what the movie is. It's like the slumber party with these kids and then older kids, and then aliens showed up. I just showed you guys a little piece of that footage, and it was really good. It's
pretty frightening, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I always talk, whenever we talk about the movie Signs, and Corey, that's a movie you're familiar with.
Yeah.
I thought that movie was legitimately scary up until the very end.
Yeah. Yeah, it was creepy.
Yeah. Definitely. And then, at the end, the aliens are not scary looking.
It was kind of like before M. Night fell off a bit.
Right.
And I was actually intrigued by, like, his really long shots, and I thought he kind of took more risks as a director. So it kind of added to the suspense, but... the reveal at the end left...
Yeah, left a lot to be desired. But I thought that they got it right in this, where, like, the aliens are pretty frightening looking.
Yeah.
The closing shot made me, not upset, but I thought it was cheap. I won't say what it is, but it has to do with an animal. I just thought it was cheap. You know, it's done for, like,
shock
value.
Shock factor.
But I wanted to point this out because I believe this is the... Not his follow-up, but I haven't seen anything from a guy named Jason Eisner who did a movie that I loved, which is Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yes.
Hobo with a Shotgun is a great movie. It's a great B movie.
I love it.
And that's what I thought Alien Slumber Party was. It was a really cool short B movie.
Yeah.
So I think this is his follow-up. I don't know if he's put anything else out since, but I thought that was a really good movie. I had such a good time watching that movie. I
hope he's working on something else.
Yeah, definitely. So that's what I've been watching. I've just prattled on for that long. Evan,
it's all right.
Evan, what are you checking out?
So I decided to watch a movie after seeing a lot of, like, I don't know if I'd call it buzz, but, like, I saw some stuff about how crazy or how weird it is, and people were talking about it, so I thought I'd watch it, and it's on Netflix, a movie called Iron Sky.
Very interested to see this movie.
Now, before I watched Iron Sky, I saw it looked like test footage for a movie based on a graphic novel about like a space bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And I showed it to you.
It looked really cool.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, it looked fun.
I mean, there's a lot of like green screen use, but I don't care. It looks
when
cool.
When you showed me the trailer, I said, Evan, did you write this?
Yeah, it's fucking badass. But, so I watched Iron Sky, and, man, if I was ever unsure about a movie, this is it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know,
man. You coming in with nothing?
It was fucking weird.
Tell Corey the premise of that movie.
Okay.
And the audience.
The movie starts with, first off, like, it takes place in, like, I'm gonna call it a dystopian future, mm-hmm. or a dystopian present, maybe.
Okay.
But, it takes place, like, I don't remember, you know, honestly, I watched this, I was pretty tired after work. I don't remember if they name the president. I don't think they do. You're just supposed to assume who she is.
Okay.
But it's pretty much Sarah Palin.
All right.
And so the president's Sarah Palin. And then there's like these astronauts on the moon. And they find this giant Nazi space station.
Oh, cool.
And like the Nazi whatever is in full swing on the moon.
The Nazi regime.
Yeah, they're like in full swing on the moon. They have this giant fucking moon base.
All right.
And you get a nice introduction of the Nazis. Like they kill one of the astronauts and then they capture the other one. And I don't know if this character is supposed to be the protagonist, but something I don't know if you'd call it racist or what happens to him. And it's weird, but kind of funny. Like he makes it. Like the actor was great.
Yeah,
who played the African American character? He was great. But something really weird happens to him. I don't know if I want to spoil it. If you want to watch it, but something happens to him permanently. That he's like this for the rest of the movie.
Okay,
and it's really interesting and weird and little racist, but I think it's meant to be.
Mm.
Most likely. I don't know if there's a protagonist. I don't know who the good guys or the bad guys are, because okay. there's, like, the Nazis and the... I mean, obviously the Nazis are the bad guys, but, right. like, the way the movie plays out, like, is the main focus supposed to be the Nazis? Because...
A little ambiguous?
Yeah, because, like, both sides are really dumb. Like, because they show, like, the American side, and right. they're really dumb. And then they show the Nazis, and they're really evil.
I'm going to say, based on your review, I'm going to skip this one.
I'm going to
skip it.
Hold on.
Pump the brakes.
But it's interesting. I thought it was an interesting movie.
Okay.
The acting wasn't too bad. It was kind of funny. The effects, I thought, were great.
Hmm.
It's when they're on the moon, it's a lot of green screen, but like whatever art direction they had was awesome. I loved the way the moon base looked.
Okay.
All the you know, all the like the Nazi like soldier outfits looked pretty cool.
Huh.
Not that I'm like into that. I'm right. just saying like they it looked good.
Right.
And then it's like the end, it's almost turns into like an alien invasion movie. But with Nazis? I don't know, man.
Yeah,
It was weird.
I don't know if I'm on board with
it. It was weird, but, like, I'd be interested. It held my interest enough that, like, I would be interested in seeing something else from this director. Namely, the test
right.
footage that we
right,
saw.
Right, right,
so it was...
Out of five?
I give it a 3. It got points for the effects,
okay.
I would say. And it got points for originality.
Because
it was different. It was definitely different.
It sounds very different. I wanted to back up. I forgot to give ratings for VHS 1, I would say 2.5 out of 5. Don't break your balls to see it.
Okay, yeah.
And that's just my opinion.
I don't know, like...
It's on Netflix, so you know what? If you're a horror fan, you will enjoy it.
What I got from VHS, it's like it's such a hit or miss. Like,
yeah,
like some of the shorts are good, and some of them are bad.
Right, and then so, I think VHS 2 for me was a 3.5 out of 5, which it's a lot less rough around the edges. I feel like it came together a lot more than the first one. I thought they had better ideas.
Yeah,
a little bit more original. So, yeah, I would say, and that's harder to find. I think it's in theaters now, in, like, select theaters. I'm not sure how to find it. I have my ways. But,
I'll have a new So I don't know if I can really rate Iron Sky right now. I'm still mulling it over. Like,
I'll tell you right.
I don't know. I think I need somebody else to watch. I need to like discuss it with somebody else that watched it.
All right, fair enough.
It's weird.
I think out of these three movies that we're talking about right now, I think Don't Break Your Balls to see any of them. I would say if you haven't seen any of the movies on our upcoming list, see those.
Yeah.
Because these are some classic horror that if you haven't indulged in, you're going to have to. Corey, anything you've been watching real quick? I know you've been indisposed.
I've been catching up on Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy
Hollow
is good.
Definitely, as far as like current horror stuff. Yeah. It's pretty much,
Sleepy Hollow is fun.
It's a really good show.
Pretty much about the extent.
There is a little too much modern day caveman going on. Like every episode is like, you know, I get it. You're from a different land.
Well, I'm sure that's what they were going for, like a fish out of water story.
Oh, of course.
But that's every like man out of time.
It's just sometimes it's like waka waka. All right, let's go. Come on.
What is this? It's Mr. Coffee. I need to meet this Mr. Coffee.
Yeah, shoots the gun and drops it. What did you do? Oh, it had more bullets? Waka waka. All right, come on. Let's move along, people.
Yeah.
So I indulged in some VHS and VHS 2. I haven't watched Iron Sky. We're all pretty ambivalent about all these things that we watch.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. I think next week I'll probably have a good review for Room 237 that's out on Netflix. So if you want to watch that, you can kind of follow along with me. I'm going to review that next week. I got a little into it, a little ways into it. And I realized I wasn't giving it the full attention that it deserved. So I was like, I'm going to start this over.
Yeah.
So let's get into our list. Let's talk about some underrated horror movies.
Let's do it.
So Corey, you don't have a list because that's 15 movies and that's a little too long of a show. So you can just kind of jump in and talk about what you think of our picks. Just as a little preface real quick, three of my movies are from 1987.
One of my movies is from the 80s.
Three movies from 1987, one from the 90s, and one from the 60s. And we might be talking about our oldest movie so far on the podcast. Because we don't... Well, we talked about a bunch of old movies on the Western episode, but... And maybe I thought an older horror movie was in... We should talk about. We might have a little bit of crossover. I have a feeling that you're gonna mention one of the same movies that I am.
I feel like if I got a day off, I would have been able to make a better list. But
no, I mean,
I'm good with what I got.
I like off the dome, like whatever you know, right away. Yeah. Just boom. This is what I'm thinking of.
This is what I've seen. This is what I like that I don't think a lot of people really appreciate.
Do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
All right, give me number five.
And feel free to tell me if you think this is a movie that's not underrated. Go right ahead.
All right.
But my number five is a movie that I wasn't sure of after I saw it,
mm-hmm.
but then really liked it over time. Thought it was really good. Talk a movie called Land of the Dead, directed by George A. Romero.
Good call. No, I like this pick a lot, actually, because I thought that movie kind of got swept under the rug a little bit.
Yeah.
It came out at a time when zombies were sort of picking up momentum.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's in full swing, but when that came out, it wasn't the huge genre that it is today. And I'm a big supporter of that movie. I saw it the first time. I was like, oh, it was okay. I liked it. It was a decent zombie movie. You know, he said what he said about society and everything.
I think it has decent actors in it.
I rewatched that recently. Yeah, a lot of decent... the guy who plays the mentalist is the main character.
Yep, the mentalist is in it.
Fuck his name. I don't even remember.
John Leguizamo was in it, who's actually pretty good.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper, for what it's worth.
The late and great Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, a couple cool actors. Asia Argento?
Asia Argento, yeah.
Yeah, she's in it.
Dario Argento's daughter.
Yeah, she looked good in the movie.
Two
cameos by a couple buddies of ours.
Yep. Friends of the podcast.
Friends of the podcast. Nick Frost.
It's Edgar Wright.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg. Yeah. I thought it was Nick Frost, but it's not. You're right.
No, he's not. But I thought it was a great take on the zombie movie. A lot of great things to say. Like social type stuff.
Yeah, with like the rich and the poor and all that stuff. Like the zombies represent the poor and the rich living up in their towers. Yeah, I mean, it was a little heavy-handed, but, you know.
But it's good. I think it works. And, a lot of great zombie stuff happens. I honestly, like, I think it was an intelligent take on a zombie movie.
It was. It's an entertaining movie. It's nice and short from what I remember. Like a solid 90 minutes.
Hour and a half.
It's funny.
Yeah, some good stuff.
It's not too serious. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
Sky Flowers,
yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of gory, which I love.
I mean, for a movie that has kind of, I wouldn't call it an ensemble cast, but it definitely has a lot of characters in it.
Yeah.
They kind of delve just enough into each character. Like, even John Leguizamo's character, he's not just like a side person. You kind of get some of his story.
Yeah,
it's
definitely
a little bit compelling.
Definitely,
and this is also one of the first zombie movies where the zombies are actual characters.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you
there's
keep,
the gas station zombie.
Like, you keep seeing the same few zombies who actually have, like, a kind of like a bit role, like,
right,
like a, in the whole movie.
And they kind of piggyback off of the whole thing from Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
Where, like, the zombies are almost becoming self-aware.
Can zombies learn?
Trainable?
Now,
do we want to say Land of the Dead better than Day of the Dead? Do we want to say that right now?
Talking about the original.
The original Day of the Dead.
Oh, by far.
Absolutely.
Because that's a movie that doesn't get a lot of love, is a good movie, has one of the best zombie kills
in any movie. One of my favorites.
But it's slow as fuck.
And it has a shit ending.
It has a terrible
ending. It has the worst ending out of all the Romero zombie movies.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I haven't seen...
Except we're not counting
Diary of the
Dead. We're not talking about that.
We're not talking about...
I hate the ending of Day. It sucks.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's kind of interesting, but like the Frankenstein zombie really kind of kills it for me.
Yeah.
What, in Day of the Dead?
Day of the Dead.
I didn't mind.
I liked it. I thought it was like a scientist like trying to figure out the.
It was a newer take on it. I could see if it would rub
you the
wrong way.
It was a little bit campy though.
Yeah,
the way that they did it.
Sure.
Took it a bit more serious, I would like the better.
So that's a good pick. I like that pick.
Yeah.
I'm in full support of your number 5.
Thank you.
And it is underrated. It doesn't get talked about enough. My number 5 is a movie that came out in 1995. I saw this movie in the theater. Directed by a man named Ernest R. Dickerson. You may remember him from such movies as Juice.
Okay.
And
Juice,
so,
that was a good one.
Juice is a good movie.
Surviving the Game.
I love Surviving the Game.
Surviving the Game is a fun 90s
movie. That's an underrated action movie.
We'll get to that.
I love Surviving the Game.
That has a fun little small cast there with, like, what is it?
Busey's in it.
Yeah, Rutger Hauer. Rutger Hauer?
He's the villain.
Yeah.
He's like the main villain. He shows up at the end. He's,
all right. We'll get to Surviving the Game on another day.
Surviving the Game on another
episode. I just wanted to point out that this guy made a lot of, like, kind of good 90s movies that never get recognized. So, this movie
is called
Tales from the Crypt, Demon Night.
Holy shit. I didn't think you were going to put that. I had this on my list. Sorry.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, crossover. What number is it on your list?
Number 3.
This is my number 5. I saw this in the theater. This is a fun horror movie.
I love this fucking movie.
This movie has an actor that will eventually go into the Pop Junk Movies Hall of Fame. The pantheon of actors. One William Sadler. William Sadler is a great actor.
Adam, ask me a question.
All right.
Ask me what I think about William Sadler.
Evan, what do you think about William Sadler?
Most favorite underrated actor ever.
He's so good.
Anything William Sadler's in, I love. Fucking Shawshank Redemption.
He's in all the Darabont movies.
Fucking The Mist.
Yeah. He's Death in Bill and
Ted. He's Death and Bill,
Bogus Journey.
He's in everything great. Love William Sadler.
Eventually, you're going to dance with the Reaper.
Trespass.
Fucking Trespass.
Fucking love Trespass. Oh,
What other podcast are you going to hear? Are you going to talk about Surviving the Game, Trespass, Juice?
Exactly.
Demon Night is a fun movie. Billy Zane.
Fucking love Demon Night.
Billy Zane was a little sad now, but he was fun in that. He was a really good villain.
You know what's funny? When we end up doing a crossover, it like makes our list go by way fast.
Yeah. But no, Demon Night I was a big fan of. I thought it was a really good movie.
Great story.
Yeah.
The demons
with
the blood and the key.
Good backstory.
I love how like it has to be passed on after like one of them dies. I love if there was ever a movie that I wanted to be expanded upon, I would kill for a Demon Knight sequel.
I was very big fan of Demon Knight. Movie that I do not own on DVD, which I should buy. Corey, thoughts on Demon Knight?
I'm gonna say one Shakes Carlisle had that on Laserdisc.
Holy
shit.
I'm gonna say that was on Laserdisc.
Friend of the podcast, Shakes. I remember your Laserdisc player. It was very big.
Yeah,
it was very large.
And it had, I believe that had the Pantera Cemetery Gates music video on it.
Yes.
As yeah.
a bonus feature.
Oh, fun soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
It opens with Hey Man, Nice Shot by Filter.
Right.
Fucking awesome. There's another really good song that plays in the middle of it. So 90s.
I think there's an Alice in Chains song on there. Yeah, just go look up the soundtrack for Demon Knight. It's awesome. I think Megadeth is on there.
Just a solid...
I'm 99% sure there's a Megadeth song on the fucking soundtrack.
I feel like they tried to like recreate that caliber of soundtrack with Dracula 2000 just by putting like a whole bunch of
yeah,
like,
with, like,
current
Power Man 5000.
Yeah, like you know, heavy metal bands.
Like the movie has a great opening.
Yeah,
like they're like so. They're like chasing each other. The he's like the big demon, and then like the demon hunter.
Yeah,
who like protects the key. It opens with that, and then Billy Zane I thought was a great villain.
He was really fun.
Fucking awesome. Guy in the movie who was...
Thomas Hayden Church?
Yes. Yeah. Not, like, big until, like, later.
Yeah, he played, like, the asshole that was, like, hanging out in the hotel.
Right. This movie has everything. Great gore, great story.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there's nudity in it.
We got boobies.
Another obscure cameo, obscure actor is remember the trash man from The Burbs?
Yes,
he's in it.
Yes, he is.
Whatever, he's in like a bunch of movies. I don't know his name.
He's the one of those that guys.
Yeah, he's that guy.
The guy from Gremlins.
Yes, he's in Gremlins.
All right, Demon Knight. If you haven't seen it,
great fucking movie.
Yeah, Evan, what do you got for number four? Number four.
You're gonna like this one.
Oh, I'm fucking ready.
Talk about a movie called starring Bruce Campbell, not Evil Dead.
Oh,
talk about a movie called Bubba Hotep.
Oh, shots fired.
Bubba Hotep. Fun movie.
Don Costello. Sounds like a pasta dish.
It does sound like a pasta dish. No, that's Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi. That sounds like a pasta dish. Anyways, Don Costello. It's really hard to say.
Yep, that's a Ted reference. I'm sorry. It's inside.
Yeah, we'll sorry. Inside joke. Bubba Hotep. Great performance by Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Great story.
Yeah.
He plays Elvis Presley,
uh-huh.
who goes into hiding.
Yeah.
And then...
it's about Elvis Presley and an African-American gentleman who thinks he's JFK.
Ossie Davis.
Yeah.
Ossie Davis.
And they fight a mummy,
and it's fucking awesome.
That's the movie. In an old age home.
Yeah. They're like old and.
But it's a very unique, very original movie.
Very original.
Not for everyone.
I think it's in East Texas.
Yes.
I think it's on Netflix. You can enjoy it on there.
Yeah, that's a fun horror movie. I would definitely say underrated. Good call.
Great one. Yeah. And then my number three was Demon Knight, so we can just skip over that.
All right. Cool. My number four is a movie that Evan made me watch a couple Halloweens ago. This somehow went under the radar for a long time. This is one of my 1987s.
This is also... 1987? Yes. Oh, okay.
This is one of my 1987s. Good year for horror. It's a movie directed by a woman named Catherine Bigelow.
Oh, this is on my list.
All right, so we'll have a little bit of crossover.
It's my next movie.
All right, cool. It's a movie called Near Dark. And basically...
Great cast.
One Lance Hendrickson, friend of the website, Pop Junk.
Friend of the website.
I met him at Rocket Shock 2 years ago, and I told him about my...
he loved that we had a website.
I told him about my blog and how I was reviewing horror movies.
He was like telling people, like, this guy's
got a blog. Yeah, so I stepped out of line, and he was like... The next guy in line, he was like, hey, this guy's got a blog about horror movies. And the next guy in line was fucking Ted. my friend Ted, and he was like, oh, I know him, it's fine. But just a really cool movie.
It's about vampires.
It's almost kind of the anti Lost Boys in a way.
Yeah. I believe that
it's kind of like a badass Lost Boys.
In my opinion, it's somewhat better than Lost Boys. It's more of a Western.
Yes. It's very much like a horror Western.
The main character is the guy from Heroes.
Yeah, went on to do nothing until Heroes, which was nothing.
Yeah.
I think it's like Adrian Pessar. I don't care.
Pascal, whatever. Yeah.
My one criticism of this movie is the end of the movie was a little weird.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
But there's a bar scene in the middle of this movie that is one of the best, like, horror movie, like...
I agree.
It's so good. It makes the movie.
Gonna touch on that. It's one of my favorite horror movie scenes. Yeah. Like, if I had a favorite scene,
so
it's
well
up
directed,
there.
So well shot. Fucking Bill Paxton. Classic Bill Paxton.
Amazing performance by a classic Bill Paxton.
Corey, did you watch this with us? Near Dark?
Negative.
All right, we watched this on a Halloween a couple of years ago.
A soundtrack done by a Tangerine Dream.
Nice.
Tangerine Dream, if you want to look that up.
Tangerine Dream.
It has a weird soundtrack. But yeah, weird ending.
Wasn't a huge fan of the ending.
And the woman in the movie is the chick from Aliens.
The
badass.
She's in Terminator 2.
Yes, she's one of the foster parents in Terminator 2.
She made your favorite.
Yeah.
Well, what did she say to John Connor? I made your favorite.
Oh, I made, yeah. Beef stew? I'm making beef stew.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, Janelle's never like this.
Yeah, that's what it is. Todd and Janelle.
Todd and Janelle.
God rest their souls. Killed by the T-1000.
With milk?
With milk.
It was through the milk.
Yeah, that was George Mason from 24.
God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. So yeah, Near Dark, if you haven't seen it, great vampire movie. Oh, we didn't mention vampires. Yeah, it is a badass vampire movie.
Yeah, awesome vampire movie.
So should I move on to my number three, since we're crossing over left and right here?
Sure.
All right, my number three is a movie that came out, I believe I didn't write this down, 1964. Don't quote me, but I think it was 1964. It was directed by two Jagoffs that I can't pronounce, Ubaldo Ricearoni and Sidney something or other. This movie is known from its star actor. This is a movie called The Last Man on Earth, starring a one Vincent Price,
yes,
who does not get enough love on the podcast, so we are gonna make sweet love to Vincent Price right now. This is my favorite Vincent Price movie. And he's in a lot of cool horror movies, but I really enjoy this movie. This is better than I Am Legend, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's closer to the book. It is. It's a little bit closer to the book. I mean, obviously, it's fucking dated. It's in the 60s. The vampires just look like zombies, like, kind of just painted up dudes. Morgan, like, banging on his
door.
It's
also...
But it captures the book so much better. One of my favorite Matheson books, I Am Legend. Great book.
I gotta add that... also based off of I Am Legend and... or the book I Am Legend and... Last Man on Earth is the Omega Man.
The Omega Man was Charlton Heston. Yeah, but I have a lot of love for a Last Man on Earth. This was like a late night Lee's house, like,
I
rental.
Had that was my DVD, I believe.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, maybe it was yours.
Derek Trum gave that to
no
me.
No shit.
I believe so.
Friend of the podcast.
For a birthday present 1 year.
That's a good movie, though. Good,
very good,
good
movie.
Solid flick. I have a special place in my heart for black and white horror movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
Lost Art.
So good. Just one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I don't think it gets enough love. This was one that I think some horror fans would debate. Like, oh, it's not underrated. I just wanted to throw it out there to people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's a must watch. Unless, like, you're one of those people that, like, you watch an old movie and you think it's boring.
Right.
But it's not. It's a good movie. That's my number three. So we're down to 2-1.
I only have one left.
Oh, yeah. You only have one left?
Yeah.
All right, so do you want me to go on my number two?
Yes.
Number two?
Number two.
That's good, because you know what? I want to talk at length about for these two movies. I just hope... I hope this isn't your number one. I bet you it's not. So this is my other 1987 movie. This is a movie directed by a man that will definitely be in the pantheon, the Hall of Fame of... Pup Chunk movies. One, John Carpenter. Huge John Carpenter fans. This is a movie that... It's a John Carpenter movie, does not get enough love. This came up on a super secret movie night from a one Ted Hayes. Oh. This is a movie called Prince of Darkness.
It's Prince motherfucking Darkness.
I fucking love this movie.
Should have been on my list.
I fucking love Prince of Darkness.
I should have put it on my list.
And it deserves two watches, because I watched the first time, I was like, Ted, that was really weird. I think I liked it. Watched it the second time, I was like, this movie is borderline brilliant.
Yeah.
It's such a cool movie. Such a cool fucking original horror movie.
A cameo by an awesome rock star.
One Alice Cooper. This movie is starring Donald Pleasance.
Oh, yeah.
Not always pleasant.
Not always pleasant.
Always pleasant. Victor Wong.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Egg Shen. And from Dennis Dunn, who played Wang Chi.
Wang Chi.
Yeah.
A lot of Big Trouble in Little China, you know, mainstays.
Which is why it's so awesome.
This is a creepy ass movie. Is it that? That's the one adjective that comes to mind when I think of Prison House. It's creepy.
When a movie can scare me, it doesn't take a lot. I mean, it does take a lot, but when a movie can fucking creep me the fuck up,
it's this creepy, is a fucking creepy shit. Movie. This, and it's about like. I can't even. I still.
Well, they were like science, like college grad students.
Yeah, and it's.
And they were staying on like an overnight study. They were part of like a. They all signed up to be part of like a study group.
Right.
Which we have at work. You can sign up for it. And,
yes, we do.
You can. They. Some of them pay you. And this one just so happened to take place. Yeah. You know.
I mean, this movie basically ends up turning out to be like the end of the world.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And like, we don't. Really like see it, but like we do,
it's like the
coming of the Antichrist,
right? Yeah, basically. It's basically like the Antichrist crossing over from,
which I mean I don't really think you find out to the end,
and it's know. And it's ambiguous.
It is, yeah.
It is a little the ambiguous.
Like it's awesome. Like they keep seeing this vision,
right?
And then they see it at the end, and you find out what it is, and it's fucking.
They're almost
awesome.
Like getting transmissions from the future.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's almost kind of not the future. There's a lot left up to interpretation, and that was my take. Like you can almost kind of take what you want from this movie.
It's a lot of like creepy imagery, like the fucking water going up.
This movie gets no love, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
People.
Yeah, you never hear about it.
When you hear Carpenter, you know, when you think Carpenter, you think Halloween. You think like The Fog,
The Thing.
They Live, The Thing. Like, The Thing is not an underrated horror movie. That is an amazing movie. That
I almost put on my list,
no,
but it's not
it's pretty
underrated.
Recognized. It's not. But Prince of Darkness is. This makes no, like, best horror list. It doesn't. But it's just a very interesting, just a very cool movie. We've explained this on the podcast before, but we used to do this thing called Super Secret Movie Night. I don't know how that name came about. But what it was is a group of us picked the name out of a hat, you know, Corey would, you know, we'd pick, all right, Corey, you're going first. So basically, we would all gather. Corey would pick the movie. He wouldn't say what it's going to be until it turned on, and you had to watch it no matter what.
Hold on. You got to pump the brakes. I got to explain what the real origin of Super Secret Movie Night was.
Okay.
We had a friend named Shane.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a friend named Shane. And he decided that he wanted to show us a movie.
Yeah.
That we couldn't leave.
Yep.
We had to watch it, the whole thing.
Yeah, he was like...
And it was super secret. And the movie he chose for us to watch was Junior.
Yeah, not a good movie.
Not a good movie, but that was the point of Super Secret Movie.
So it was almost like to get back at him, like, all right, well, fuck you, you know, now I'm showing a movie that you can't walk away from.
It turned into, we wanted to show our friends good movies that they may have not have seen.
Right.
And then we ended up showing each other some movies that some of us may have not seen that they ended up really liking.
It went two rounds.
Some of us.
Yeah, it went two rounds and then it got out of control.
Some of the movies.
Shane's second round was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Secret of the Ooze.
Oh, yeah.
Secret of the Ooze.
Some of the movies we may have not have liked.
No.
I can name a few, but I won't. But I thought it was a really good idea.
We changed venues a couple times.
Yeah.
One, Sean Harris dragged us to a movie theater. I don't think either of you guys were there for that, though.
No, I
wasn't.
For the Aristocrats.
The Aristocrats.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
We got a viewing of The Toxic Avenger out of it.
Yeah, we watched some fun movies.
Hey, I showed Escape from New York.
Yeah, you did.
Dead Man on Campus. I bought that to make everybody watch it.
So. And then it came to a spiraling halt when I showed Scarface to about 20 drunk people.
No, no, no.
And no one fucking paid attention.
No. You showed a 3-hour movie to 20 drunk people in a hot room.
It was a little hot.
Yeah.
And then it was a lot of people and no one was watching the movie and it kind of died out from there.
Yeah.
But, point being, is that that's how we saw Prince of Darkness.
Right.
That was really roundabout. So, that's my number two.
Number two.
Evan, you got a number one and I would like you to share it with the audience.
Okay. My number one is, I don't know, it's already been talked about in the podcast that...
Actually, it's a lost episode. Not on iTunes.
Oh, it is, yeah.
This was on underrated movies.
I thought, no.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Because this popped up in my favorite road movies.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Then it is on there.
Okay. All
right, never mind.
I don't know. It just really fell in love with this movie.
Yeah,
you're
a big fan of this flick.
I think it's just not... I've never heard anybody talk about it. I can't really find anything of anybody like recognizing it. I'm talking about a movie called Stakeland. Still don't know who directed it. I think it's
still have done no research.
It's an independent movie. Yeah, still haven't done research, but...
I think it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Okay. It is on Netflix. It's a very well-done independent horror movie that came out last year or the year before. But I had...
Well, I think it was 2011.
I remember when this movie was coming out, I had to seek it out, find it, and I remember I bought it right away just because I had a really good feeling. Usually I have a really good feeling about these movies. But I love Stakeland. It's about a guy named Mister who takes under his wing a kid who he trains as like a vampire hunter.
Yeah, they're basically living in like a zombie apocalypse, vampire apocalypse.
Yeah, it's like a vampire apocalypse. And like, it's cool though, because like they go from like shantytown to shantytown, or it's like...
Kind of almost plays out like an RPG.
Yeah, like society's trying to like reconstruct... And they go to these like towns that it's very much like a Western.
Yeah, they collect people along the way.
Yeah, and it's like it reminds me a lot of like Outlaw Josie Wales, where they like collect people along the way and become like a family. And I like the ending; it's kind of ambiguous.
Yeah, they leave it open for a sequel. I thought.
Yeah, I did too.
A couple bit actors. One, Kelly McGillis. Leave Kelly McGillis alone.
I was gonna say Kelly McGillis is definitely in that. Danielle Harris.
And Danielle Harris.
And Danielle Harrison. Yeah.
Danielle Harris.
Very hot. Yes. She's also very pregnant, Danielle Harris, in the movie.
Yes, she is. Fun movie, though. I enjoyed this. Let me borrow the Blu-ray. I did not dislike it.
I think you should revisit it.
Maybe I should.
It's very gory, which I love. Mm-hmm.
Not a good action.
And I got to touch on... one of my favorite things about the movie is that it has one of those themes that like a lot of zombie movies have, but this is more of a vampire movie, about how... You know, sometimes the humans are, or sometimes it's not the vampires that are the worst things. It's
the humans.
Sometimes it's the humans.
Yeah, and which is, I think that's a big theme with Romero.
Because there's a crazy, like...
With his zombie movies.
There's a crazy, like, religious Christian cult in the movie, which plays a big role, who's like they're like a pretty big villain in the movie, which I loved. It's just a great, independent vampire horror movie that I think deserves more notoriety.
Yeah.
Especially since of it was... made on such a low budget, and it was excellent.
Shoestring budget.
Yes.
I think it's still streaming on Netflix, so
it is.
If you're looking for a good horror movie to check out, Stakeland.
Please check out Stakeland. It's awesome.
All right, my number one is my final 1987 movie.
Okay. It's
directed by a man named Chuck Russell. Chuck Russell went on to direct...
The Mask, Eraser, Scorpion King.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
That's my movie, Corey.
There you go, sir.
My movie, my number one underrated horror movie of all time is Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, The Dream Warriors.
Collaborated with, do you know who?
Collaborated with?
Frank Darabont.
Oh, yeah, I did know that. Yeah, I knew he had a hand in this. This movie right here. The thing that made me put this at number one, because there's Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Friday the 13th. And, like, all these original properties, I feel like a lot of them peak at number one and then kind of peter out and have a million sequels.
Yeah.
But Nightmare on Elm Street 3, I think is in some ways better than the original. It is a really freaky, gory, awesome, interesting horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because they move basically the entire story into an insane asylum where kids, like, are seeing Freddy in their dreams and they're not sleeping and people think they're crazy. And it brings back the Nancy character, her father, a one John Saxon.
Oh, I love John Saxon.
Second mention of John Saxon on the podcast.
He's been mentioned before.
This is when Freddy gets funny and still scary. In my opinion.
This is part three, right?
This is part three.
That has a one...
I've seen Larry, part three.
Larry Fish is one of the orderlies in the hospital. And Patricia Arquette. A young Patricia Arquette. This movie has some of the best Freddy kills. One of the goriest movie scenes. There's really... I think maybe this has more to do with when I saw it at the age I was at. But when he pulls the veins out of the kid's arms and feet,
I hate that.
Like a puppet off the top of the fucking hospital. That is awesome.
That still bothers me.
Those are visuals that
are so good.
They don't do those in movies.
You get, that's something that I had a hard time scrubbing from my brain as an 8-year-old.
That's still fucking.
That was a tough one.
That still bothers the shit out of me.
That's out there.
I saw this at a very young age. It had a very big impression on me, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, like, I pretty much fell in love with horror movies at this point. Like, I hated what I was watching, but I loved what I was watching.
Actually, I could probably credit Nightmare on Elm Street for most of the creepy ass
Of all the franchises, I think Halloween is my favorite horror movie of all time, but for franchises, Nightmare on Elm Street is where I put my money, because the first one is amazing, second one is okay, the third one is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I stand by Dream Master Part 4 as a good horror movie.
Sure.
5, Dream Child, not so much. Freddy's Dead is stupid but funny. And
the map says we're fucked.
The map
says
I like we're Freddy's Dead.
It's fun. It's good. I like it. I saw Freddy's Dead in the theater. That's the one movie I think I've seen the most in the theater. Because
did you see it 3D?
I did, every time. It was playing when we lived in Brockton, Massachusetts.
Don't you realize how much that dates you, kind of?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You saw Freddy's Dead 3D.
Yeah, and not like the cool, like, Harry Potter glasses that they give you. These are the fucking red square, blue square. And you put them on when the girl put them on.
Right.
And the whole... I saw that close... Over 5 times. I know it was probably 6 or 7
times. You have to wait during the movie.
That's what I said,
like,
yeah.
Like, anticipation. And then finally for, like...
The, yeah, you put them on
when up and the demons minutes. Are going around.
They come at you.
Yeah, I was all about that. I saw that movie in the theater a lot. I was a big fan of Freddy's Dead. I look at it now and I see that it's not a good movie.
I mean...
But it's fun.
You want to talk about, you know, movies that were, like... You know, the first movie was good and then had, like, shit sequels. I would say that, like, Jason Part 6 comes pretty close to, like...
We'll get to Jason Part 6.
It's my favorite one out of all of them. I like it more than the first one.
Alright, I don't have to expand too much on Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3. If you've never seen Dream Warriors, you have to go see it. Right now, I want you to go on YouTube and I want you to look up Dream Warriors by Dawkin. Great song.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our honorable mentions. Jason Part 6 almost made my list. Almost did, but these movies were better.
Yeah.
Jason Part 6 is the perfect...
slasher.
It's the perfect slasher movie.
It's my favorite. It's the perfect Friday
the 13th. Like, Friday the 13th 1 gets a lot of love because I think it was... Friday the 13th Part 1 is a you-had-to-be-there movie.
Yeah, and
for
it has...
it was, yeah.
For and, like, you had to be there because you watch it now and it's like...
Also, for the ending.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Would you say, though... I mean, I think Scream would be one of those because... I think we were right there at the right time when Scream came out that the end
was I agree with that.
But now, if kids nowadays are, you know... our kids or whatever, you know, watch it. It's not going to have the same
impact. No, it's super dated and the whole thing.
Hey, holy crap, 2 killers.
I feel like this is, like, hailed as, like, one of the... I know this is, like, wasn't what we're talking about on the podcast, but... or the subject matter, but, I think Jason Takes Manhattan is not a fucking good movie. It's not good.
It's,
it sucks.
Yeah.
Part 6 is far better.
Yeah, it's way better.
Part 7 is better than
yeah,
Part 8.
Yeah, when the girl gets the powers and everything.
Yeah, and it's actually, Part 7 is the coolest looking fucking Jason.
Yes, the quintessential Jason is from Part 7.
My favorite looking. I actually have the, because I'm a super nerd, I have the 18-inch giant
because
Jason Voorhees from that movie.
Was that the first Kane Hodder?
I believe so.
Yes.
Part 7
because is the first Kane Hodder.
And when she squeezes the mask on him and it pops.
You,
and
you see what he looks like. Yeah,
that's fucking cool.
Fucking awesome,
I mean, that
man.
Was like a here you go moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had to bring up Jason. I love talking to
Jason. No, Jason 6, it was a total, like, I rented that movie, like, once a month.
For, yeah,
like,
yeah.
A couple of years.
I've watched it multiple times.
It's at Horseshack.
I
forget the Horseshack death.
I watched them in order one summer, probably junior high.
Yeah.
Just to try and get them. I mean, we're talking like 2 a day from the late great Sound Systems.
Oh yeah, good times.
I mean, over the course of maybe 3 days, I watched all of them.
Yeah.
And after watching part 4, part 5, part 6 was a real treat for me.
Yeah.
That was like really refreshing once
I
got.
I think it's the most
that.
Fun of all the Jason.
It
movies.
Definitely resurrected after part 5 fiasco.
We won't get into part 5. Well, part 5 has the like the most laugh out loud moment in any Jason
Vince,
movie.
Vince, would you like a bite of me chocolate bar?
Yes. And then the big reveal, it was spoilers for Jason 5, it was the fat kid's dad.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you for that ending.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I gotta bring this up because I just thought of it, and it's gotta be said. The therapist in part 7.
Oh, yeah.
Is fucking Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, it is Weekend at Bernie's.
Bernie at Weekend at Bernie's.
He's not the one that gets folded in half, is he? Who the fuck gets folded in half? Is that from Six? It might be from Six.
I think so.
I think it's the sheriff from Six. Somebody gets folded in fuck half. Like, somebody the wrong way.
Gets folded in half in Freddy vs. Jason.
I'll tell you my favorite moment in any Jason movie. I may be contradicting myself, but Jason X I didn't like. I was not a big fan of that movie, but the little hologram that they do when it's got the two girls.
Run like, the simulation, yeah. Camp Crystal Lake, 1986.
And then it cuts to him with the girl in the sleep bag just slamming her against
smashing
the tree.
All right,
I laughed out loud at that. All right,
you want to talk about Jason X? It has a great opening.
It does have a great opening.
They bring him into like prison.
Right.
A cameo by one David Cronenberg.
No way.
Yeah, he's like the warden.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, he's fucking in the movie.
That's crazy.
And then the movie goes awry when they go to like the future. It's a weird. I don't hate Jason X, but it's not great.
Couple more honorable mentions. This one I'm gonna get booed for. But Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. I stand by that movie.
I liked it.
I like that movie.
I enjoyed watching.
Arlie Army is out of his fucking mind in that movie. He was the best part of
the movie. He was the best part of the movie aside from watching Jessica Biel.
Yeah, it was easy. It was fun to watch.
Easy on the eyes.
Yeah. Definitely. Underrated horror movie, Event Horizon.
Yeah.
That was a scary ass movie.
That movie still creeps the fuck out of me. Like, I won't watch that because it will, like, fuck me up.
Recent, The Fright Night remake.
Mm.
I thought that was good.
Really good, yeah.
I almost put Fright Night, the original, but I don't think that's underrated. I think a lot of horror aficionados...
I was so iffy about putting certain movies on this list, because I don't know if they're...
Does that have the kid from Alpha Dog in it?
Yeah.
Colin Farrell's the zombie, the vampire.
Yeah.
It's a good flick. David Tennant has a great... Not a Doctor Who fan, but I was aware that he was in the movie...
Right.
And he has a great role.
Listen,
very fun.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
I like Fright Night, the original.
Then you should definitely... I own the remake on Blu-ray.
That's a cool concept.
It's a great, very cool concept.
Like, who better
to help you... The vampire next door.
Who better to help you out?
Oh, yeah, and then he goes
to... you're like, I need the guy from, WCAT.
Yeah, the public access monster madness guy.
He knows his stuff, man.
In the remake, it's a, like, Chris Angel, like, Vegas, like, showman
he is
type.
A
yeah.
And it's a cool twist. It's like because those guys don't exist anymore. They're Midnight.
Unfortunately.
Movie. They don't, and they should. Couple of the ones, The Crazies. Both versions of that movie, I think,
both
are
versions
fucking
are
solid.
Good. Yeah.
And finally, another 1986 horror movie. This movie fucked my shit up when I was a kid. This movie freaked me out. And I haven't watched it, like, I've seen it, like, sporadically once or twice since. Not a lot of people talk about this movie. Invaders from Mars. Invaders from Fuck Mars.
I've never
seen it. It was a remake of a 50s movie. It's basically, like, the pod people. It's basically, like, your parents are aliens, your friends are aliens.
Yeah.
It was weird, man.
Like an Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yeah.
I love me some Body Snatchers.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers freaks me the fuck out.
But I don't think that's underrated. I think that's rated.
Yeah.
But Invaders from Mars, man, that movie fucked my shit up.
Kind of any movie of those same concepts, though. It's like the thing where any one of us could be it. The Faculty is the same.
It was a fun horror movie.
I do like The Faculty.
Robert Rodriguez?
Robert Rodriguez directed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good cast.
You know, yeah, Elijah Wood's in it.
Sean Hattasey
from
Southland.
Yeah.
Usher's in it.
Usher.
Usher.
Say, that's a favorite of yours, isn't it, Faculty?
Yeah.
It's got paper cutter violence.
It does have paper cutter. One John Stewart.
John Stewart's in it.
I'm a Family Guy.
My favorite
show.
Science teacher of all time, John Stewart.
Famke.
Shot of him
what's her face? Jean Grey from X-Men.
Yep. Famke Janssen.
Yeah. Selma Hayek is the nurse. We said Josh Hartnett.
Robert Patrick's in it.
Yeah, he's a football coach.
Robert Patrick's the best part of the movie.
He is pretty fun.
He is creepy.
Yeah, a little bit.
In the
Elijah Wood. Did we even mention Elijah Wood?
Yeah, Elijah Wood. And Elijah Wood's dad.
Some people
is,
were just
is the dad from SLC Punk. He's a bastard, just like his dad. Fuck you, dear.
Some people were just meant. Some people were just meant to play villains, and I think Robert Patrick just meant to play villains.
Because he fucked the X-Files by coming in to be a, like the main lead, and it was like, no, he's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy, yeah.
Get him out of there.
Right.
So I think that was a good list. We got to talk about a lot of fun movies.
Yeah.
I tried to stay away from schlock. Because there's some crappy horror movies that I like, but some of them are just like, yeah, I can watch them and laugh and be like, oh, this is fun. But like, I don't want to recommend them to people and be like, that was fucking stupid. So I wanted to stick with like some actual like really cool movies. Yeah.
You know, I read an interesting list the other day. It's totally off topic.
Okay.
Sort not really because we were just talking about Robert Patrick, but I read it was the best evil robots.
All right. And he's definitely in there.
And number 2 was fucking the Liquid Terminator.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how like terrifying and maniacal he was. How he like
absolutely.
He like gets like angry. Like, he got, like, angry at, like, certain things, and I just thought it was awesome that he was, like, number 2.
Very relentless villain.
Yeah, does not extremely relentless.
On enough villain lists.
I agree. I think
our first list was top 5 villains, no mention of him even in the honorable mentions.
I would like to revise my list.
Would you like to change your bullshit story?
I would, yeah, yeah. Maybe I wasn't feeling it at the time, but I think Liquid Terminator is probably one of the greatest fucking villains ever.
Absolutely.
Still not better than Nazis. I stand by my number 1 villain's pick was Nazis.
They're always, yeah.
They're the best villain.
Yeah, yeah. Villains.
We got some time.
Number 1 was Pal from
Oh yeah.
Fucking
Space Odyssey.
Yeah, I can't we'll talk about I still can't. We are
I know, you're not a
Is
fan.
That our was that on our last episode?
Overrated movies.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that, yeah. That made iTunes. All right, that definitely made iTunes. So we got a little bit of time. I mean, that's our list. Nothing else, Corey. Nothing else you wanted to mention?
I mean, I like The Mist.
Yeah, that on. I thought about putting that on my list too. That is a movie where they.
Yeah, I think it is underrated.
It is. It's very underrated. I think the problem
is like the small creepy. Amount of time that it was, you know, relevant in the theaters. Everybody talked about it. Really recognized it, but I feel it's like maybe people have forgotten about it.
Yeah.
It was really good. I mean, visually, it was amazing.
Hey, man. It's fucking.
I thought some of the CGI in that movie was a little questionable. Fucking the tentacles underneath, I was like,
However.
Stephen King, though, man. Yeah, like, you gotta say that.
When you take a King novel and you want to see it on TV, I think The Mist definitely.
Well, and this was a short story.
Stephen King story.
And what I thought was really notable about that movie was the fact that Darabont would not make that movie unless he was able to put his own ending on it. Will not, under any circumstances, say what happens in the end of that movie, because if you haven't seen it, fucking watch it.
Yeah, you have to.
But Stephen King went on record as saying, that's a better ending than I came up with. He actually came up with no ending.
I think the ending of the short story, it just ends. Yeah.
This one has a definitive... That would come up on future lists of like holy shit moments,
holy shit endings. Yeah,
fucking.
I mean, it makes me really want for a version of The Cell to come out.
I've heard Stephen that King is Cell. Coming.
I
out.
Really hope it is. I hope that's true.
Yeah,
because that's a movie. That's a story that needs to be made into.
Speaking
a movie.
Of Stephen King, none of us ended up watching Under the Dome. I heard a lot of iffy.
I'll check it out when I can watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I didn't jump on. It might have been like a summer void that just because it came out in the summertime. I mean, it had Dean Norris, which huge fan of Dean Norris from Breaking Bad.
He's the villain. He's the villain.
He's the villain.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes me want to watch it even more.
And showrunner Brian K. Vaughan, writer of Why the Last Man.
Really?
And he's the showrunner.
I didn't know this.
And I've heard a lot of hot and cold things about it.
Yeah,
it's on my radar. I just haven't gotten around to it.
I think maybe I'll indulge in that soon.
I mean, underrated horror movies. I like Tremors.
Tremors is a decent movie.
I like Tremors.
I will not. It's got Remo Williams in it.
Okay, I almost put a movie on my list, but I wasn't sure if it was Kevin Bacon. I wasn't sure if it was underrated. Maximum Overdrive.
Absolutely.
Good pick. That is definitely an honorable mention.
I should have put it on my list because I love.
That's a fun movie.
I love.
I mean, it's corny as hell, but it's
Stephen
fun.
King short story Trucks. Love it.
Yeah, yeah, good call.
I am fucking.
That's all right.
I am not doing good here.
Maximum Overdrive was a movie that was definitely on my radar as a child.
Great horror movie.
Fun horror movie.
It reminds me of like a Sunday afternoon horror movie.
Yeah, because it's like Channel 56.
It was always on the Superstation.
Yeah, I was thinking like, remember when before WB was WB, it was Channel 56.
Yeah, it was WLVI 56
actually,
yeah. Sunday.
We got to mention this on the podcast because this is a huge thing that turned me onto horror movies as a kid.
Mm.
I first watched it on A1 Monster Vision with Joe Bob Briggs.
Holy shit, I would love to get into that, but we'll continue with your thought.
I was turned on by so many great horror movies by watching Monster Vision with Joe Bob Briggs.
So good.
As like a fucking 12 or 13 year old.
Yes.
Like just sitting alone in my room because like I couldn't go out at night because I was young. So I just watched horror movies on Monster Vision with Joe Bob Briggs. So many great horror movies I got to see on there. But yeah, I think Maximum Overdrive was like one of them that I just remember.
That is something, Monster Vision with Joe Bob Briggs, that is something that I revisited recently on YouTube.
Oh yeah, and it's awesome. Fun. It's so very good.
My horror education came from Superstar Video. Me and Lee dubbed it Five Shitty Movies for $5.
Five shitty movies for five shitty dollars.
And then you would rent fucking just any horror movie under the sun. I mean, I'm talking Stage Ghost.
Stage Ghost.
Fucking Extra. Fucking.
Castle Freak was on.
I mean, just the worst fucking movies.
I mean, I remember watching Dr. Fibes.
Dr. Fibes was fun.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I know you joined us for a good handful absolutely. Of some fun horror movies. Those.
I definitely remember a movie about a, I can't recall, you know, what the name of it was, but, you know, a family got taken hostage in the house.
Yeah, I'll never remember the name of this movie, but I was there for this.
Luckily, they have the same living room.
Yeah. As we were watching this horror movie about this family getting taken hostage. Lee's mom either was in the room with us or walked by, and she was like, look, they have the same living room set. And they legit had the same couch and love seat pattern, the whole thing. We were like, yeah. Fuck, we're about to get taken over.
Really kind of brought awesome. Us home.
Yeah, it was fun. But yeah, just the shittiest of the shit, man. And it was fun. It was good stuff.
That and just, you know, random-ass movies. Dog Soldiers.
Dog Soldiers is a great... Dog Soldiers. Neil Marshall?
Fuck!
Great
movie. That was supposed to be on my list, and I completely forgot.
That's Neil Marshall, right?
Yes.
Director of Doomsday?
Doomsday, yeah.
And then he went on to direct the fabulous episode of Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Fucking Blackwater.
Blackwater's amazing. He also did,
something else. Shit.
The movie with the girl in the cave.
The Descent?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, he did The Descent.
Dog Soldiers Scottish? Scottish horror?
I think so.
I think Irish.
I thought it was...
Maybe Scottish.
It's Scottish.
It is Scottish.
Was Christopher Eccleston in Dog Soldiers? No. I'm having a 28 Days Later flashback.
I don't think he is. But there are some notable, like, European actors. Hmm. Or actor.
We still got some time. So, yeah, I mean... I feel like that's how a lot of people got their horror movie education. Just right. Like going to the video store, you know, and just you would rent the fucking cool covers.
Yeah.
That's how I came across Evil Dead 2. That cover was awesome.
The cover was awesome, yeah, and it's such classic.
It's like
80s
the Bruce
horror.
Campbell face with the skull over it.
It's supposed to be Bruce Campbell's face.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I was thinking about something on the way here. Or doing this while we were doing the podcast, mm-hmm. I wanted to mention, since we got time, you don't see a whole lot of period piece horror movies.
No. Like your Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula type deal?
Well, yeah, but like, just horror movies set in like...
different times.
Right.
And it would be a lot easier to do that because nowadays, like, you know, with the advent of the cell phone, it kind of plays the foil to a lot of horror movies.
Right. Most, yeah.
Because I mean, I have no signal.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Actually, a most notable period piece horror movie I can think of is, like, Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which is a really good one, yeah.
It's not a bad movie.
I love Interview with a Vampire.
I stand by that movie.
I love that movie.
I mean, I like
Book's
it
awesome,
it kind of expands a lot of Anne Rice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, spends a lot of time.
Yeah. You can see you know, it's funny. That is an interesting one because it starts in present day. And then, you know, he starts to tell his tale.
But it's a vampire movie.
Yeah. No, definitely. That's a good movie. It has some really cool scenes. Yeah. Definitely.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that's a good flick. I stand by that movie. Good call.
I think we just really want to talk horror movies tonight.
Yeah, I kind of like how this episode broke down. It's like, it's just kind of like a free-for-all, like, whatever horror. I mean, we're just huge fans of, like, October, Halloween, fall weather. We
live near Salem, and we visit Salem all the time.
It's funny, like, me and Corey's friendship actually pretty much started at the Haunted Dungeon.
Yep.
Which was, we grew up in Winthrop, Massachusetts, and that was our, like, that was our regional haunted house. We worked there.
Yeah, Civil Defense Bunker.
Yeah.
And,
I wouldn't say worked, we didn't get paid, we were volunteers.
Well, I mean, well, it was volunteer work, but, I mean, definitely it was, you know, decorated, run through, Civil Defense Massachusetts before it got broken up.
And I'll tell you, it was, and I stand by this.
Non-profit.
Right.
Self-funded.
And I stand by the fact that a lot of people used to say that it was the scariest one they'd ever been to. And this is the reason. It was a cave.
Yeah.
It was a cave had like rooms.
It was an underground bunker of tunnels.
And
without light. Well,
right.
I mean, there was lights, but I mean,
like, we weren't ushering you into like a fucking high school gym and like, ooh, scary, you know, fucking strobe lights. It was a fucking cave.
Civil War.
You were definitely out of your comfort zone.
Civil War bunker that is actually fabled as being haunted.
Right. So when we were working, you know, we're there to scare the shit out of you. We're going to fucking scare the pants off of you and your girlfriend. We were fucking scared ourselves because we'd be down in this, you know, like in the depths of this like cold, you know, moist cave alone. Like,
well,
we're waiting for the next tour to come through.
When we would set it up and clean it, you know, I mean, we were down there working with power washers and brooms, and that was just you. And I mean, it was really like a skeleton crew on some days. Whoever showed up would help out.
Yeah, I
remember. So before it really got into, you know, full force, it was, you're kind of down there alone.
Yeah, and I, like, basically what would happen, like, for me anyways, is I would walk through the door, and they'd be like, shit, man, we need you to do tours tonight. So I would walk the group through. Next night I'd walk in, we have no pre-werewolf. Can you do that? Which basically, like, it's like a skit where, like, you know, this guy's like, what are you doing? Get out of here. Oh, and I'm, like, pretending like I'm in pain, and I run off, and all of a sudden, we're dressed the same. The werewolf comes running out, like, oh. Like, you know, next night you'd walk in, we need you in the swamp. Swamp was like this fucking bridge where your hands were brushing people's feet and they would freak the fuck out.
I remember that. I remember people grabbing my leg.
Yes.
It was,
And God forbid we fucking knew you personally because we would torture you.
I'm pretty sure the people grabbing my leg knew me. Actually, I have a story about waiting in line of people who knew me.
Right.
Who I didn't know because they were wearing a mask. I remember,
like, people in full costume because, like, you're my younger brother. And our older brother worked there with his friends, too.
Right, that's the thing. Like, everybody knew each other. And I remember waiting in line with my dad. And somebody in a skull mask and black, whatever, had a chainsaw. And walked right up to me and started revving the chainsaw, staring right at me. And I'm, like, sitting there, you know, kind of scared because I'm young, but I remember, like, yeah, this person, I'm sure, is one of my brother's friends.
We would pull people out of line.
Yeah.
We would stand there and watch people in line and tickets, and we would say, two tours from now, Purple Jacket, get
right.
the hell.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was,
I'm
you
sure,
got your money's worth.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure our older brother told one of his friends to, you know, give me shit.
Well, I'll tell you, my favorite Haunted Dungeon story. I missed it personally. The final night is always Halloween, and it's the best night. My older brother Matt played Michael Myers, and he's a tall gentleman. He's
very tall,
6'5", you know, in the upper 200s. He's a big burly man. Played Michael Myers in, like, you know, it's like they put on like kind of this little skit and everything, and they would misdirect you, like he was going to come out of a window, but he would actually come out of a closet. But on the final night,
they played the music too.
Yeah. On the final night, instead of just like shoving the door open, he fucking punched through the door.
He came out of a closet.
Yeah. And he would always like burst out and the girl would scream and he'd stab her and then, you know, the tour would move on. But on the final night of Halloween, he fucking punched straight through, tore the door off, and killed the girl. And I heard
the girl broke the phone over his head.
Yeah. And I wasn't... Corey, were you there?
Yeah, that was... it wasn't my tour, but I tagged along.
Yeah.
He told me it was going big.
Yeah.
So I made sure that I was in.
I think he ripped like his earring out.
Yeah, we searched for that.
Didn't they like wrestle for a minute? Like the girl.
Yeah, it got scary.
He for real gave her hell. I actually talked to her the other day and brought that up.
Oh, for real?
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That was a good moment. I mean, I had to miss it because I had a girlfriend who refused to go through the tour.
Right. Yeah.
And wouldn't let me leave her alone outside. So thanks for that. That you ruined my night.
thanks for that.
Thank you. You ruined my night.
Was it
me? No, it wasn't Sage. This is back in high school. So yeah, good times at the Haunted Dungeon. And we have 9 minutes. Do you want to talk Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I do.
Some thoughts. All right. If you haven't seen the finale of Breaking Bad, just turn us off now. Thanks for listening.
All right. So
actually. I hope you haven't turned it off yet. Let me stop you for a second. I want to do a couple plugs real quick.
Okay.
Media Ghouls.
Yeah, please listen to Media Ghouls.
Listen to Media Ghouls. Justin is a big supporter of our podcast. And I have to do the same for him. And Big Kahuna Burger Movie Podcast. I will be on their episode next week.
Our Canadian brothers.
Our Canadian friends. Find them on iTunes. Big Kahuna Burger Podcast.
Yes.
Please. Yeah, I'm going to be a guest on their show. We're talking horror movies right up my alley. So,
fuck yeah.
And thank you to Dave Houghton from Gangrene TV has been tweeting us, tweeting our episodes out. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Shakes, always tweeting us out. Thank you, Sage, for doing the TV episode.
Thank you, Sage.
Those are my plugs. Thank you, anybody who's been listening. Go on iTunes. Leave us a review.
Leave us a comment.
5 stars, 4, I don't care,
you, if
3,
you, if you hate us, if you hate us, give us hate mail.
I don't care, whatever. Pop_junk at Twitter, and that's pretty much it. And you can find Pop Junk Movies on Facebook. There's a page you can like.
Podomatic as well.
Podomatic is where it's basically our mother site. So you have 8 minutes, go. All right. We're going to talk Breaking Bad, so turn us off. Bye.
Okay, see ya.
Unless you've watched the episode, then stay tuned.
Spoilers for Breaking Bad, if you haven't seen it.
All right, go.
Starting now. Okay, so, Breaking Bad ended.
Yes, it did.
Very sad. Very sad to see it go.
Yeah, I was sad to see it go.
Loved Breaking Bad. Amazing show. Mm-hmm. Probably the best show I've ever watched on TV. Every episode had me captivated. There is not a weak episode in the entire series.
No, I will actually agree with that. I've been rewatching from season one. The tone changes, but it's never not interesting.
It changes gradually.
It does change very gradually.
Because if you go back and watch, like, there's still some funny stuff.
Yeah, but,
like,
there's funny stuff from seasons one. I'm deep into season three for my second viewing, and it gets dark.
Yeah, it does.
That's when it starts getting dark.
I think that they took 2 episodes to wrap it up, where most shows take 1 episode to wrap it up. The second to last episode,
I'm sorry to cut you off. I absolutely agree because Ozymandias, which was the third to last episode, that could have been the final episode.
When he has the phone call with Skyler and he leaves.
Could have been the final moment of that show.
He just leaves.
And you would have been like, holy you know, like, that's the end.
Yeah, they could have ended it that way. I think people would have been pissed though. But they took 2 more episodes to wrap it up, mm-hmm. wrap everything up. They show what he went through being in hiding.
Yeah, Granite State.
I loved the ending of the second to last episode in Granite State when he sees a thing on the TV.
He sees Gretchen and Elliot.
And he starts to get fucking pissed. You can tell he's pissed because he starts like gripping a napkin.
And it was perfect because they started playing the Breaking Bad theme.
Which has not happened in any episode.
Right, they've never ended an episode
with that theme. And it was amazing. I love that ending. Probably my favorite ending of any episode of the show. And then So we got to see the end where everything gets wrapped up. I love the whole thing with when he meets up in the beginning with Gretchen and
Gretchen and Elliot. Gretchen and Elliot. He's like stalking them in like a horror movie.
When he fucking did the point and the fucking the crosshairs come out or the fucking laser pointers come out, and you know it's just two kids. Like I knew
I thought it was like two nobodies or two people he hired, but it ends up being
fucking Badger and
Skinny Pete. A little bit of fan service,
which is so funny. But like it makes so much sense. Like that's the only way he can ensure his money gets to his kid or his family. Yeah. It's the only way.
I like the fact that the final episode ended on like a Walt paper. Like him using his brain two times. One with Gretchen and Elliot and then one with the gun.
We got to see one last time of Walt being smart.
Right.
Using his brain, like you said.
And everything going his way.
Yes.
Which was, to me, a very ultimate theme for that show.
Yeah.
Everything always broke his way.
And I'm pretty sure Jesse says it.
He says he's luckier than you. He says it to Hank.
Exactly.
He says he's smarter than you, but he says he's luckier than you.
He always has an ace up his sleeve.
Yep.
Like, he just, he's luckier than you.
Yeah.
How much time we got?
2 minutes.
Okay. So, the ending, how can you can't top that. Like
the complaints that I've heard, and this is fucking ludicrous, the complaints that I've heard is that the ending was too perfect. Too perfect.
Too perfect. Fuck. Really? So if it went a different way, I'm sure people would have different complaints.
Yeah, people wanted like maybe a more ambiguous ending, but it had finality to
My definitive opinion is it ended the only way it could.
I agree.
It ended in a fucking battle.
Yeah.
In a Walt battle, it was brains versus you know whatever. Like he uses his brains to kill an entire fucking gang of Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
How fucking awesome is that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Like what?
I'm
going
so
on
sorry.
This show?
I'm so sorry, Corey. No,
it's okay. I'm
like, I honestly thought like
Nazis
like,
and drugs and
like whatever I thought they were gonna do, they went a different way, which is awesome.
Yeah. I did not think when they showed Gretchen Elliot on Charlie Rose, I would have definitely told you that was the only time you would have saw them. I did not see them appearing in the next
Neither did I. When they appeared, I'm like, holy shit, they're bringing this back.
What was I going to say?
I thought Walt was going to charge in with that M60 and try and kill.
And that would have been corny.
It wouldn't have made sense.
No, it wouldn't have.
It wouldn't have worked. But him, like, using his smarts, I love when he fucking places the car in the perfect spot, and, like, the guy's like, what are you doing? And he's just like, I don't know. And then, honestly, like, this isn't even a complaint. This is only, like a desire. I wanted to see what ended up happening to Jesse.
Yeah,
but, like, that's not the point.
Because all signs pointed to the fact that, like, he probably was going to jail.
Yeah, I'm sure wherever he went to go hide out, probably fucked his life up even more.
I thought ultimately the coolest thing about it is Walt never got caught.
I agree.
Never got caught.
We got to see the shot of him actually dying.
Yeah.
Which I think was great.
Just a great show all around. All right, we gotta wrap it up. We're on 1 minute.
All right. I said what I needed to say. All
right, good. You got that off your chest.
Perfect ending. I loved it. No complaints.
I agree.
Great show.
All right. This was a lot of fun. We got to talk some fucking awesome horror movies. We got to
hold
talk
on. What
Breaking Bad.
Real quick, I love so much just to see my two favorite main characters getting their revenge at the same fucking time.
Good call.
That's it.
All right, I like it. All right, that wraps up this episode. I thank you very much for listening. I thank you two for coming on. I always have a good time doing this podcast.
Me too.
I hope you have a good time listening. I'm Adam.
I'm Evan.
I'm Corey.
And this was Pop Junk Movies. We'll see you next time.
Have a great time.
Goodbye.
See you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.